I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole one you had last week with Andrea, but it was good. What I heard, I need to listen to it again. Are we still, well, we can talk about that later. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about today was I've really been going over and over again the hangout you did with Paula, and talking about the bench and the function and everything, and you make a statement on there at one point, or at least a couple of times, how that what we are going to need to learn how to do as benches is to work more closely with the angelic. I wonder if you could expound on that a little bit.
In the function of a bench, which is a kingdom function in the realm of the kingdom of God and into the kingdom of heaven. So our mountain, in terms of the mountain of our life and what we're called to administer, goes down into, you know, the different seven mountains that we may have personally to administer and be part of. If our scroll calls us into a level of authority which goes beyond that, and I think as we progress in our lives, I think everyone will be called to a level of authority which comes together and brings an administration of the kingdom in a further sense. Whether everyone will take that up, I'm not saying they will, but I think everyone, it's an offer. But you have to mature. And so, you know, becoming into the Lordship and operating in your mountain and begin to function there and begin to use the keys that we have there of the kingdom to begin to change things around our lives and administer the kingdom around our lives is the base level of kingdom authority when we're talking about engaging heaven. But as we then are faithful in that and we respond to a higher call or a deeper call, whichever way you want to look at it, is to come into a dimension of authority within a group, within an area, within a ministry area, in various things. So the bench of threes are really, I believe, God is raising up our people who aren't really looking for earthly position, but they will be recognized in heaven by what they're administering, and that will certainly attach with it a connection with the angelic realm. And how I perceive things and my own personal experience with operating in that, if you personally are on your mountain, which is essentially the same as God being on his mountain, then the angelic realm recognizes you as a pattern of heaven and the canopy of angels comes around you. So you have the 10 different categories of angels in that canopy which are around you, and you can learn to interact with them. And you, of course, you have your own personal angels which operate in this realm around you with you, and you have the angel that's with you on your throne to bring advice and guidance in terms of kingdom protocol. So that all begins to look at listening to and seeking counsel from heaven. First you do that around the ark and look to engage around the ark and look to engage around the will of God and the resonance of God's voice there to come into agreement for seeing what the Father's doing and then outworking that. But of course the Father doesn't do anything on his own. He uses the angels as messengers, he uses the angels as ministers They are patrolling the earth. They're involved in harvest. They're involved in gathering. So many different levels of involvement. And so when we begin to administer, even on our own mountain, we need to engage the angelic, because there are ministering spirits. Now, you have access to the different courts of heaven, and most of those courts are about engaging with the angelic realm, because Jesus isn't sat on the bench in those courts. The angels are. Different levels of angels, chancellor angels, the court of scribe angels, they all have different functions, different functions, different names, within the kingdom. Just like in any kingdom here, you have may have a king, you may have a set of advisors to the king, you may have a parliament or an outworking of kingly authority in certain ways. In the old system, you would have had barons and different things who administered out the kingdom and administered certain realms of the kingdom. So it's the same. That pattern is only there because it was in heaven first. And so we look to engage with angels and look to see where their assignment is. Now, when Abraham was sending his servant to go and find a wife for Isaac, he said, "The Lord will send an angel before you." And the expectation was the angel was going to do the work to prepare for the servant to be able to find the right lady to be the right wife for Isaac. And they would go and create the circumstances or be at work in this realm to enable whatever assignment that he was given to take place. And of course, when the servant got there, he found around the well and found there was a kerfuffle going on around the well. And as a result of that, he was able to come across Rebecca and find it, outwork it. So I feel that we need to get more in tune with sending our angels to prepare the way for us. That might be in ministry, but that might be in everyday life. We need a parking space because we need to get somewhere on time. Well, why wouldn't we send an angel ahead to keep that space open for us? Now, that seems a trivial thing, but actually the angels are ministering spirits there to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So they're not doing anything other than keeping us out of trouble most of the time, I think, if we don't interact with them and send them ahead. And I quite often send them ahead to prepare meetings I'm going for, maybe to prepare even like on a Sunday morning and in our church meetings. I would talk to the church angel about opening up the heavens, about engagement with the other angels for portals to open. I'm not an expert, but I know that there's something that we need to learn about it. And if God uses angels and he has assigned them, if Jesus had 12 legions of angels at his disposal, which was, 80,000 or something like that, which is quite a lot, well, then why wouldn't we? Because we live under the same open heaven and we're supposed to do things the way Jesus did them. If Jesus had all those angels at his disposal, and they ministered to him in the wilderness when he was on his fast. They ministered to him in the garden where he was going through before the cross. They were there at his birth, heralding it. They were there when he came and opened up the heavens. And they were around his life all the time. And he's our model. Why wouldn't they be around us? Well, they are. We just haven't learned to actually see it that way and deliberately look to engage with them, so that they are completely participating in what we're doing and doing their part of that. Now you hear stories of, people tripping and falling, in front of a car and they felt they were pulled back onto the pavement. Or, you hear stories of people in a car and it seemed to go over a cliff, but all magically it didn't. And, there are angels working hard to keep us safe according to our assignment and so that we fulfill our destiny, but they really want to be much more actively involved in that. And so, you know, when we think about things we're going to do, we need to think about what would the angels do, and what could we send them to do on our behalf? You know, what involvement would they have in our everyday life? And, you know, yes, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Father, Son, and the Spirit within us. Well, then so did the early church. But it didn't stop God using angels to get them out of prison, to bring messages within visions, to go and create the situation where Cornelius would go and call for Peter to come. All angels involved. Yeah, I know, you know, there's teaching, oh, that all stopped with the early church. Well, we know that's just not true. So the reality is they are there for us to operate in the same way. Now, you know, because if we're not in faith, if we don't believe that, then we don't operate in it. Everything operates by faith. So we have to believe that they are ministering spirits and they are assigned for us. So when we then look by faith to engage them, obviously if you learn to see in the realm of the spirit and into the realm of the angelic, then you can begin to perceive their what they're doing and what's going on around them. You know, and it's not just angels like we see angels as, you know, those with wings and various things. But they're different. One of my personal ministering angels is a white horse, white winged horse. Brings all sorts of stuff to me at times. You know, sometimes in ministry situations, he appears with chests and jewels and weapons loaded on him, and I minister and give them out. You know, so it isn't just the traditional view. A friend of mine here has an angel that looks like a dog, and fetches things. You know, it sounds really strange, but that's her personal experience with it. And, you know, in ministry settings and when you look into the angelic realm, you know, one of the orders of angels, which is the chaos, the creatures, would be the fiery chariots, the fiery horses, the golden ladders, all sorts of fiery pillars, whirlwinds. They're all angels. They weren't the result of angels. They were angels. The fiery sword that was twirling around at the entrance to Eden was not a sword that the other two cherubim carried. It was a actual angelic creature that was in the form of a sword, a fiery sword. So we've got to expand in some senses our mind and our traditional view of the angelic. Very few of them have got wings. You know, that's just, if you look in the Bible, you can hardly find any reference to wings. It's just that's the image that we've created for it. Now, some of them do. And some of them, you know, with the cherubim, and you see the ones with the, you know, the six wings and the two covering their face. Yeah, that's a description of angels with wings. But, you know, where it talks about those angels that we might be having in hospitality, and we need to be aware, well, if they had big wings on them, we wouldn't have any doubt that they were angels. So those ones certainly haven't got wings. And you hear of stories where angels appear in cars and pitch up as hitchhikers, and they bring something to someone as they're, and all of a sudden they disappeared out of the car. Well, they didn't have wings. They just looked like a normal person. And so there's lots of different aspects of the angelic. So in a sense of, okay, ministry, if I would believe, I'm believing for teaching maybe or preaching on transformation or dealing with things in our lives that are hindrances, you know, I would be calling for the seraphim, because the seraphim are those that take coals from the altar to apply to our lives to purify, refine, purge. So why wouldn't we be looking for that to appear in our meetings or in our own life? We have an area that we want to engage and see transformed. Well, we have access to the seraphim and say, okay, we want to engage with the living coal from the altar. So there's lots of different applications, I think, with the angelic in this. And we just need to begin to be open to pursue it more and to think about it, meditate on it. ask God to show us, okay, well, what are angels supposed to do? And then if we can engage with them, ask them to tell us, well, what do they want to do? You know, how do we assign them? Do we ask God to do it? Do we do it ourselves? Well, they're all valid questions. I think, you know, when we are immature and we don't know how to do it, God assigns them for us. I think as we grow in maturity, we're given the more of a mature role to interact with them and to bring assignment and to send them on assignment. So when it comes to looking at operating on our mountains and things like that, if we are called in an area and let's say we're finding a difficulty or we're seeing that there's an obstruction or we see what we would call principalities or powers or rulers of darkness and they're hindering something. You know, when Daniel prayed and his prayer wasn't getting answered, it was because there was this hindrance in the realm, that was atmosphere of the earth, that was stopping access coming. And we may feel like that sometimes. Why are my prayers not getting answered? Why are things not coming about? What is blocking this? Now, sometimes that's because the enemy's got a right to block it in accusation. Sometimes that's because we live in an area that has a particular ruling spirit or territorial spirit that seeks to influence and control what goes on in a culture or society or a particular town or region. And you find that there are things which influence the region because of the patterns of sin, give access, then those patterns of sin are perpetuated because the angelic realm in the negative sense bring perpetuation of those sin patterns, and you get areas that have particular areas. You know, there are certain cities in the US that have a reputation for certain things. So if you live in that culture, well, those things may be in the atmosphere that affect our lives. So, okay, well, what do we need to do? Well, if we're called in a city-wide sphere of a bench of three or in authority, then, yeah, we can do something into the atmosphere of the town or the region or the city. But actually, if it's over our life, then we're responsible to clear that atmosphere over our life. Well, I believe that's where the angels work. You didn't see Daniel going up into the atmosphere of the earth to deal with Prince of Persia and King of Persia who was in opposition. You saw Michael, the archangel, come to support what was going on. So there's a sense where we have to be looking at what are we administering in the kingdom? What are we calling forth into being creatively? What are we binding and loosing on earth that has been bound and loosed already in heaven because we're doing it? What's hindering that being outworked? Well, it can be the atmosphere between where we are in the kingdom of heaven above it and what's going on the earth beneath it. So the everlasting doors, which are there for us to open to see the manifestation of the kingdom be at work over those different spheres that we have influence over, need to be given access, if you like, and so we need to send angels. We can send angels on reconnaissance missions to come back and report what is causing this blockage, what is the strategy of the enemy. You see God doing it all the time. You know, those who are patrolling the earth, those that were in the top of the myrtle trees making a sound, you know, those who are going to and fro around the earth looking. You know, and you see when you look at the different courts and you look at the councils of God in the Old Testament, you see there are angels involved in all that. And of course, when they're in the court of angels, you know, there's a specific court, the court of angels, in which they're looking for assignment. And when you go and when you take a scroll there, when you take a mandate there, it's like when God's said in the court, well, we need to deal with this guy Ahab, who's going, and it's like, here's the mandate, we're going to deal with this situation. And it wasn't like, oh, you go, it was actually, who's up for it, basically, who wants this assignment? Well, when we go into the court of angels and we take a mandate or a scroll, we're looking for those who say, yes, send me. Yeah, I'm up for that. That's part of my mission. That's part of what I'm called to do. That's part of who I am, sort of thing. Well, then they get released on that assignment. So there are probably angels attached to scrolls, mandates, assignments that we need to go and find. And so go into the court of angels is looking to find the angels that are ascribed to our assignments. And that might be our mountain assignments. That might be specific mandates on a particular mountain. It could be, you know, any, in a sense, you're having a strategy that you've been given in the court of war for a particular purpose. We need angels associated with them. And I think we're not being successful a lot of the times because we're still trying to do it ourselves. Even though we're on the mountain and even though we're in authority, we have a scepter and we have a crown and a mantle, that actually wasn't enough. You know, there needed to be the angels that are involved with doing their part of the assignment. It's like, I think, yeah, there will be probably more access for us to do the greater works that Jesus did, and that may well have a greater capacity to do things, trans-relocating, that type of thing, where we're called maybe to go back in time, go back into situations, be translocated, whether it's spiritually or physically, to facilitate something of God's purpose in the kingdom. And there may well be things that are on that assignments, you know, people like Gary Beaton who get on assignment and sent back to a time or whatever, and something seems to happen and they get to see some event that happened and something changes. You know, that might be things that more and more people get to do as they mature. But I believe that there's always going to be an angelic sense because they are supposed to be there as ministering spirits for us. So the more we learn how to use them, the easier I think our task will become, because we won't be trying to do things that are their tasks, and they will be free to do the things that are their mission and the things they can do, so that frees us to manifest things on earth. Now, I think there's a big difference between what we do when we walk here and when we are allowing the inside-out flow of the spirit to create the atmosphere around us when we engage with people. That is what we create our atmosphere by what we do, what we say, of releasing our spirit to be around us, to have our personal angels involved with that atmosphere, so that we do practical things. You know, we heal the sick, we raise the dead, we speak truth into people's lives, we change atmospheres. We see practical things outworked. Now, we can do that because we've already assumed authority in the heavens for our daily life, and then that authority comes through us as our gateway. We are the gateway of heaven on earth, which is an actual personal walk, if you like. You know, like Jesus was here, and he went to a town, and he did this, and he did that, and he taught this, and he ministered in there, and he discipled people, and he trained people, whatever. So he was doing an earthly ministry, but he was also, while he was here, connected to the heavenly ministry. So when Peter said, he spoke to Peter and actually said, you know, Satan wants to sift you, but I have prayed that you will not fail, that your faith won't fail, type of thing. Well, he was doing something in heaven, which had an outworking, but that was a spiritual outworking of something which limited the authority that Satan had, that gave him limited access to Peter. Same thing with Job, and you know, the same thing was going on. And so there's the sense where our personal daily walk, that needs to be outworked, but then the sort of bench of three or more spheres of influence, some of those things are directly related to changing atmospheres, calling things into being, sending angels on assignment, which may not necessarily all have an outworking for us personally as a walk outworking. So a bench of three may have an influence over, I don't know, let's say a region, and in that region, maybe the call of that region may be redemptive in an area of maybe worship, let's say. So what they will begin to do, they may not be even musicians themselves, they may be, but they may not be, But they can begin to get a mandate in heaven for what they're called to do, and then from that scroll begin to assign angels to their part. They may well, in agreement, call things into being, like, I don't know if it's to do with worship, call new sounds to be released, call healing to come through worship, or maybe call new expressions of ministry to be released in healing workshops or music therapy. Various things that all could be part of that thing. They may never, ever do anything personal themselves, but what they're doing is administering God's will for an area, a region, a town, even a church, that facilitates God's purposes being released and things changing in this realm as a result of what's being done in that realm. Now, some of it you might be able to see, and you may well be able to see certain things, and you have a position where you can see, maybe in, for me, honestly, I'm involved in various different settings. You know, I have church setting here. I'm also involved in a local setting and in a regional setting. And so when I get together with the local people, I'm sort of asking what's going on. You know, so what I'm doing in calling forth something, do I see any evidence of that? And often I do, because I see that people start talking, we had these visions in the church of this dragon thing the other day. You know, when I'm calling for the works of the enemy to be exposed so that each church will see what is hindering them fulfilling their mission and destiny, which is part of what I feel I'm called to do. So when I then see, churches that don't normally get that sort of stuff suddenly think, we had an elders meeting, and in that elders meeting, someone had a vision and a picture of this. I think, okay, that's evidence of what's going to... No, I ain't going to tell them that I've been praying for that, because actually my reward isn't on earth, it's in heaven. So it doesn't matter ever if they ever knew what was going on behind the scenes. I just need to do what I'm called to do. And so a lot of, you know, involvement with the angelic realm in the different courts with angels. You know, if you're going to operate and try and bring changes to your region, area, sphere of operation, and you bring a law into place by going into the court of kings, and then engaging there with the court of chancellors and scribes to get something ascribed as, hey, this is commissioned, and that came, was birthed out of your heart being connected to the heart of God that released that, then you then administer that, and you need angels here to administer it. You need strategies to administer it. So it's there's so much more than we ever imagined or thought. Well, then that's what the word says. There's so much more than we can ever imagine or think. We just need to start imagining and thinking of more, and entering into the greater things that God is releasing and letting come forth in these days. You know, so I think if that answers you.
Yes, that's very good. Yeah, actually, I had a couple of questions as you were going, and then you ended up answering them. Can you give me you probably have already, but just for me to have a better clarity, can you give me a practical testimony of that working out in your life or in somebody else's life, where they actually, like, the steps and the processes they went through to do it, or to engage the angelic?
We can sort of look at that. I mean, the first step is to train your senses to engage that realm. You know, that's the key. You can't shortcut it. You know, the whole pathway of relationship, you know, the things we've been talking about, developing intimacy, developing being able to hear God, getting your spirit active so your spirit can start connecting with what's around you, you know, looking to send that signal out so that you can pick up in the spirit what's around, what's going on in certain circumstances. You know, that's all part of the process. So, you know, you have to practice. You know, some people, you know, may have a catapult into that. Sometimes, you know, God does something because there's an urgency of a call and people get catapulted into an area supernaturally. But we're really talking about all of us being able to do this as part of our daily lives. So in reality, we have to learn. And so the more we can tune our senses in to that realm, the more we begin to step into that realm, then the more angels are involved. You know, when I first started to engage heaven, angels were taking me around to places. You know, before even Jesus and the Holy Spirit got involved, the angels were the ones that were taking me to a place or showing me something, or, you know, and that was just what happened, you know. So I think anybody needs to practice engagement with the realm of their spirit and then stepping into the realm of heaven to begin to administer. And even if it's a basic administration around their own life, connect up with their own personal angels. You know, what are the angels assigned to me? And meditate on that. Ask God to show you. Ask God to open your eyes so you can see it. And whether it's a physical sight or a perception sight, you know, that's what happened with Elisha and his servant. Elisha said to God, open his eyes so he can see. Well, if Elisha said that, well, we can say that. Open my eyes so I can see. You know, and I can begin to see the angelic. Hey, there's the whole load of fiery chariots and things around here. Wow, that changes my perception of my feeling secure and safe, knowing that my angels are there as guardians to protect my destiny. You know, it's a positive thing. So in terms of learning how to do it, I think you just have to follow all the processes through and be open, and ask God to show you. Or, you know, the seven spirits of God are there. Well, they are creatures. They are, in a sense, angelic created beings. So engagement with them is another aspect of that. They are there to tutor us in that position of rulership and authority. And so, yeah, we look to engage there. So some of it is desire. God operates on responding to the desires of our heart, and those desires will cause us to pursue and go for these things. And so the desire of our heart, we have to set our desire on angelic engagement, set our desire on learning, you know, set our desire on it, then ask God for those desires and ask him to open the realm. You know, if we can't step into it yet fully, we'll ask him to show us. Just pursue and pursue and pursue. You know, in the process, you know, I've learned wisdom has taught me most of my engagement with the different courts came through my pursuit of wisdom herself. So she took me to the court of kings. Then she took me to the court of chancellors, took me to the court of scribes. So that this process of what you do when you bring a decree or a law or a scroll into being, she showed me how to do it. You know, I just went along with the process and learnt. Now I know that pathway, and should I be required to decree more of those things or help other people to decree those things, then I know what to do and I know where to go and I know the process. And then once you have something ascribed, it's okay, well, how is that, what's that going to do? So, you know, an example of that for me would be, you know, I was taken by wisdom to the court of kings to make this law on a scroll, and I thought it into being. It was written on a scroll, and then wisdom took me to the court of chancellors, and they reviewed the scroll. And they accepted it, authorized it, if you like. Then it went to the court of scribes, and then it was like that. It was written into law and it was put on display, and then it was added to the records. And that was the process. And then it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? How does that make any difference to what goes on here? So it was like, okay, I brought that to our bench of three. We looked at it. We said, okay, we're going to step into heaven onto our thrones together, and we're going to look for the strategy. So we want to go to the court of war. We need a strategy for how this gets worked. And the strategy was, as we went there, we stepped in, we came back out, we thought, what do we need to do? And we all felt the same, basically. We need to take this to our Council of 12. So we agreed in heaven, and when we were there in the court of war, we saw each of our seals, because we have a seal that represents the lion and the ox and the eagle, which is our three areas of ministry. And so we had that sealed. But you always need the fourth agreement on earth to open up the windows or the doors. And so the strategy was bring it before the 12. And I saw a real scroll written with these things on it. And I saw taking it to the 12, giving each one of them a scroll. We would have one scroll that we would all sign in agreement. And then each person would have their own scroll that they would sign, having the three of us already signed them. So the bench of three agreed. We signed the scrolls, and then we gave them out, and we said, want you to take this. And if you're in agreement with this, and you were wanting to see this outworked, then come back together, and we'll sign the scroll so that we have a copy of it, and then you have an individual copy of it for your own life. And that's what we did. We brought that out, we signed it, whatever. The next Sunday, I wasn't around, but the very thing that the scroll related to, which was about fatherhood and sonship, and bringing a new law of fatherhood and sonship, which would open various things, I wasn't around, so I didn't administrate anything. And there wasn't anyone speaking that day, so they just, oh, we're just going to worship and we're just going to see what God does. The whole meeting, the whole spirit of the fathers to the sons just fell upon the meeting. And things were done and administered, and things were shared about things which people were in tears, and there was a whole move that the Spirit of God did as a result of it. Now, you know, we have to ongoingly see how that's going to be worked out. And therefore, it's like, okay, that wasn't just a one-off. What does that mean when we see this come into full fulfillment? And there was lots of things on the actual scroll which were more than that, but came out of that. So it was about a depth of relationship and a bringing restoration back into relationship with the Father. Therefore, knowing who you are as sons, that's part of it. You know, law of sonship, father and sonship. So that's a sort of a very practical thing where we did something, we're given the strategy for us. I'm not saying that that's a strategy for everybody, but I do believe there does need to be agreement between heaven and earth. And so you have to find agreement in that way. So that was one practical outworking of it. Another one is in our regional bench. I went into heaven and I was given a direct scroll which basically called for us to issue a sound and to issue a sound out into our region so that those that were being positioned in our region to hear the sound and to take up positions of authority in their sort of separate regions. Our region, which is the southwest, has four different counties in it. And that would be Cornwall and Devon and Somerset and Dorset. So four different counties. And God said that if we issued this sound, that's what would take place. So it was like, and on this scroll it said, you need to have the agreement of the three and the four. So I thought, okay, so I brought it to our bench. We meet once a month. Brought this word, and it was like, okay, what do you do? I said, well, I don't know. I just got the word. You know, it's like, what do we do? Okay, well, so let's step into heaven. Let's see what we do. So again, we step in, and we're looking for a strategy. And so we were shown, okay, first of all, we need to issue this sound from heaven. So it needs to come out of our beings, and we're issuing the sound out of heaven, So we did that. We went to our thrones and we issued this sound. And then it was like, okay, now we need earthly agreement. So we had a meeting scheduled of a group of seven, which were two benches and another guy who's in this three, that were going to come together. So I thought, oh, okay, so there's three of us, there's four of these other guys. Actually, oh, great, there's three and four. So we then brought that word to that meeting, and we did the same thing. Let's step into heaven together, and let's actually see what God says about this and how we do it. So we did that. We stepped into heaven together. And then we stepped back out, and okay, we had various revelatory things. Some brought visions. Some brought, hey, this is what I saw on the message that needed to be sent out. Because what God said on the original scroll was, you need to send a message out, but actually use the language of the kingdom. So in other words, make it cryptic. So that when you start talking about a sound or a call from heaven, only those that will have some inkling because of their spirit being connected with something like that will respond. And so it was like, well, who do we send it to? And so I had another vision of three rivers, and I saw this scroll going out down the river, carried by angels, and it stopped at various points on the river, and then the river branched into tributaries, and it went out to the tributaries. And so it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Because everything, you get a vision, what does it mean? So then, okay, we'll listen to each person bring what they felt out of heaven, and we then bring it together. And it was great. I mean, there was various things that were shared about what sort of people this would reach, how it would get there, you know. And so, and one said, this is the wording you need to use. And so, great, okay. So then we basically came into agreement. And again, someone saw an agreement sealed in heaven. And it was just great. You know, it was just a liberty to just say, explore. Okay, what does this mean? How do you do it? Because I bring lots of things, and I thought, well, I have no idea how to do it. I'm just bringing what God said, you know. And so then we came out of that, and we met together as three again, said, okay, this is what we're going to do in light of. So we're going to produce a common statement, and we're going to send it out to those people that God puts on our heart to send it out. But on the actual message, it says, please send this on to those that you feel that might respond, even if you basically don't. And so, which are the tributaries that this may go out to? And so then we each have emailed out to those people that God put on our hearts. So something that was established in heaven was then agreed on earth, then it was sent out in heaven and on earth practically, and now we're waiting for the results, you know. And I've had three or four responses from that, of people saying, yeah, and it's, oh, what's the next step? I have no idea what the next step is, other than God will show us, because we just are obedient step by step. And so whether we need to draw those people together in some way, who knows? But God does, because he's called us to be obedient, and sometimes he doesn't show you the next step, you know, until you've been obedient to the first step. And so now we're excitedly waiting for responses to say, okay, God, what are we going to do now? You know, and I'm not sort of making any assumptions of what that might be. I'm just really open for when we get together, God will again show us and show us what we need to do, when we need to do it. Because this is about raising up benches of three over our region. You know, that's what's underneath it. But first you have to hear who's responding to the sound. And the same thing, really, it's like I had a heavenly encounter on New Year's Eve where I saw the globe spinning, and I saw just these benches of three being established around the globe, and it it halted the globe spinning and turned it in another direction, which speaks of, a new start and old things ending and new things beginning and whatever. And, I saw various arrows coming and landing here from the different parts of the world. Okay, fine, that's what I see. So then beginning of the new year, well, what do I do with that? So, okay, God, give me a strategy. What am I supposed to do? You show me this picture. Is it just a nice picture? Am I supposed to do something, or am I just supposed to wait for something to happen? And I felt God say, no, issue the sound. Make the sound. Produce the call. So on the Facebook groups, I just basically put out, anyone hearing this sound who may feel called to any sort of governmental role, that was it. And as a result of that, those people that responded, now I'm beginning to connect with. So yesterday I did my first hookup with a central zone, and I've got another one at 2 o'clock today with another central zone, and then we'll look to see those in the other zones, the East and the West Pacific zone, and then different parts of the world. And all I'm doing is just connecting with them, because that's all that God showed me to do. I am authorized by God to put into place benches of three. I have that authorization, but I won't do it unless it's clearly a relational call that people have as part of their scroll and mandate. And I need to hang out with people to see, okay, where's people's hearts? Where are people, is there more equipping needed? Where are we at with it? And I'm in no rush. I'm just going to follow this path that God set, and then we'll see what happens. But as a result of, even now, there's several people who have contacted me saying, would it be great if we could come to visit or come to have a stay or some sort of internship or something? And I'm like, well, I've no idea how we would do that. But okay, I'm sort of, if that's what God's saying, then he'll facilitate it. And it's not something that I'm particularly looking for, but actually if there's, a more relational way of connecting with people, some people you can do it like this and we can connect up over the airways. Some people actually might want to say, well, actually, no, I need more than that. I need to see something, be part of something. Well, then, that is something that if God wants to do that, he will put that in people's hearts and he'll make a way. There are other ways that can be done, that he will show. So some of these things, there are practical testimonies of how things then begin to happen as a result of this. Even the reason of doing this was because God spoke to me back in the summer and took me out into the stars and showed me the planet and got me to take it and place it within myself. And my response was, I had to be more proactive in reaching out to people, which is why I put on the forum, and that's how we first started hooking up and with some of the others, and that has opened the door for more and more. I could never make it happen. If no one ever contacted me and said, oh yeah, I'd like to get together like you did and Andra and Stan and a few others, well, I would still be waiting, because I'm not going to make anything happen. I'm just going to be obedient. It's God then who opens the doors and forms the connections and all those kingdom networking things that he's doing, that all the angels are involved in. That's where then you begin to just take the steps of obedience and trust, hey, the results are up to God. But each time then I'll be willing to respond and be obedient again, and then trust that will be outworked. If that answers you.
Yeah, that does. That's good. That's really good. Good practical advice. Definitely something I'll have to listen to over again. I wanted to ask you too, kind of switching gears, a little bit more about the Lie Busters. Have you? I know you. I think you said your church was going to go through it, or
Yeah, sure.
Going to get the training, or.
Yeah. That's good. I can. I'll definitely look at that one. Yeah. Again, because I'm part of this bench of three regionally. We last year we got together as two groups from the north and the south, because I've encountered the angel over the southwest, and he's a large angel, and his stride is a foot on the north and a foot on the south, which is about 75-80 miles, I guess. So it's pretty big, and I engaged with him several times. And so we looked to, with the north and the south, we looked to get together. So we got together to worship one Saturday afternoon. And prophetically, we went into a covenant thing. We broke bread together. We exchanged people from the south to the north in a spiritual thing. We created a highway between us that there would be a flow. And there were various prophetic things that were released about, you know, those different ministries in the north and the south coming together and overlapping and different things. Graham was really good, really great time. You know, we had no agenda. We just came and worshipped, and we said, okay, what is God saying? What is he doing? And we just followed that. And well, but what it did, it set up this highway and this covenant between us, that we're in this covenant relationship between us. And so at the end of the summer, the other group down in Totnes, Marketplace Ministries, they were asked to do ministry at David's Tent. David's Tent is a weekend festival, a worship, 24/7 worship over 3 days, like David's Tabernacle, just coming to worship. And so they were asked to do the ministry there. And they asked us, is there anyone there with you who would like to be involved in the ministry team? Now, it was sort of right at the end of August, and we didn't have many, but one person responded, and they joined the team. So they went to David's Tent, and at David's Tent, they were met with Liebuster's team. And the Liebuster's team and Marketplace just felt this connection in the spirit and said, look, we must get together. Now, because we're in covenant with them, basically, Lindy, who's involved in it, said, we're going to get them to come down. They're coming down in October. You must come. You know, you need to hear this. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll go. So a couple of us went down. We just worshipped together again. People shared some things. And then lunchtime, I met with the guy who heads Liebuster's, who was the one who was given to found it. Jonathan Cavan, and we just connected, and I asked him some questions. We started talking about how do we spread this? How do we get trained? I started talking about, hey, I think we could do this over Google Plus. We could do this at distance, so that means you could train all people all over the world by this method without having to travel. So I thought, so he said, oh, that sounds great, because he's into internet technology and stuff. So everything just started to, whew, so that was that. And then we then connected up after. I contacted him, I think, and we just said, okay, where would this go? And we said, okay, let's try. Let's actually do a new way of training people via Google Hangouts, and we'll do it. So that was the history. And we had training sessions set up in January, first to in January, in which he shared some of the vision, had a couple of other people on there sharing testimonies, and then did an actual live bust on one of a willing volunteer that we had, who, in front of the group there, but also actually on the screen, was being live busted. And what I loved about my first contact with Jonathan was, it was like he said we talked the same language, which was great. And live busting is about people connecting up with God, removing the blockages so that they can connect up with heaven, and it being a fast-track process. It doesn't take weeks, doesn't take sessions upon sessions. Take, you know, you can do it in one session, but then you learn how to do it yourself effectively. So that was great. So the whole thing of fast tracking, we thought that's exactly what we want. It's very much non-dependent on someone's anointing gift to do it, because you're just facilitating the Holy Spirit by asking questions that would lead the person to the answers that the Holy Spirit would lead. So you ask somebody, okay, Father, we just ask you to come and open heaven over this person, begin to speak to them. And we just ask you, Jesus, just tell this person what it is that you want to deal with today. Simple. Then you encourage the person to tell you what the thought comes into their mind, or the picture, or the memory, or whatever it might be. And then you then take that, and then you say, okay, well, what are the lies that are associated with that memory or that word or that thought? And you just go through the process. And it's a great process. We've done 2 lie busting sessions in terms of training. Last night, we had another grow where everyone came and then they practiced on each other. And people have been practicing on each other in between. One lady lie busted herself. Something came up and she just said, right, God, show me what memories are. Okay, and it's about bringing people back into integration. So you're looking at the generational issues, but also the personal issues in someone's life that have come through a blockage or a trauma that's caused dissociation into different stuck childhood ages or things. Then you're looking to reintegrate them back into Jesus. Really powerful, really powerful. And you know, people are really practicing here and having great fun in learning and doing it, because they can all do it. You know, they can all do it. I think it's one of these things that is taking it out of the old and bringing it into the new. Everything in the old was like Moses in the wilderness. Moses did it. Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses hit the rock or spoke to it for water. Moses did this, Moses did that. Things were supernatural, but they were very much not on the person. It was one person was really orchestrating most of it. Well, you know, you go into the promised land and all of a sudden it's like, actually, now you've got to do this together, and now you're all personally responsible. So whereas one person who is equipped with authority and power, and I think a lot of this is also in like the fivefold ministries, I'm totally for fivefold ministry. I believe in all those ministries, but God is moving those ministries into a connection with heaven rather than one person creating a ministry on earth that is dependent on their gift, their skills, their anointing, and not being an equipper of others. Because Ephesians 4:16 really is about equipping the saints for service, isn't it? It's about those ministries equipping the saints to serve. Well, I think the worldly way that's taken place is now it's all about ministries doing all the ministry, and they've created worldly things, not intentionally, and I'm not saying everybody or any ministry, but actually God is calling us to move on, and it's about this order of Melchizedek, which is not an old order, it's a new order where individuals get to do this stuff. That's why he's raising up nameless, faceless people who've got no reputation, who are willing to just go for this, not worried about, oh no, their financial situation, not worried about, oh, or the organization and everything that's been set up. But actually, no, we're just called to come into heaven together. So I think there's a major change and shift. And I think Live Busters is one of those ministries which is a shift ministry, because it enables people to shift quickly, but also the whole way it does it is about people being able to do this, because it's all about plugging people to God. You know, I know other ministries are moving that direction, and you sort of got Sozo and the different things that are associated with it. I just think this is another step, and I think God's anointing it. Jonathan is raising up like an academy of training people all over the world, and again, hopefully using the same technology, Google Plus Hangouts. So what we've pioneered, because we got together and we hooked up, can be spread out and can be used to facilitate people all over the world getting hold of this and then being able to reach out to many, many people, you know? So, yeah, that's really, for us, where we're at with it. it will become probably here, you know, the sort of the foundation ministry that we use to help people break free. You know, there may be other things that you do. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's a real key foundational thing to get people connected back to their destiny. Because the whole purpose is to remove the blockages that are hindering people being sons, being kings, fulfilling their destiny. So, you know, just for me, it was just like, hey, this is exactly the language that I am talking about, and finding other people that are talking about the same thing is great. And so we've been able to connect up and you know, bless them. And, you know, it's part of, I'm sort of praying and releasing blessing for seeing that spread over the world and everything else. So it's good. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, well, I'll have to look into it some more, too, because that, you know, I think I've told you, me and my wife have been in the inner healing quite a while, and we've been through, you know, all the different programs, and, you know, I've seen, even now when we do it, we do a lot of, you know, we just draw from all the stuff we've learned, so we kind of have our own hybrid kind of way of doing it, which sounds very much like what that is. So I'd be interested. Yeah, I'm going to look into it some more. So
yeah, sure. There is a, I think there's a message there on Facebook in the Ian Clayton Ministries group that is for people to sign up if they would just want to get involved in this initial process. So, you know, I'm sure you can sort of just find more information. There's a website as well, livebusters.org, that has testimonies and various things. So yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, oh my, a whole hour's gone by already. Yeah. Well,